I'll wait until you're all hooked up. To be plugged in, he's got that. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you've had fun. Right, this is our conceptual design meeting. I think we're slightly ahead of ourselves from the last meeting.
Yeah.
This is where we talk about properties, materials, user interface, and trend watching. So I think we've touched on a few things to that already, but we'll just go over it. The minutes from last time, we had a couple of changes in our plans in that we couldn't use teletext, it wasn't going to be a control for everything. And that we had to incorporate the image of the company into it somehow. We have decided on leaving out the voice recognition. We've decided on there being a flip design and a different shape from what's normal. We were thinking a shell, but something along those lines, just a different shape from what's normal. You were going to look into the rechargeable batteries.
Yeah.
And we were going to think about the port and an alarm for getting it lost,
yeah.
Things like that. And our market was going to be young business kind of range. Okay, so should we start with the first presentation?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if you feel.
The marketing department is really about trend watching. The methods we use to decide on current trends and so on, market trends, well, we did our traditional visual market research study with our 100 subjects, and the general feedback from them is that the most we've decided on the most important aspect required in a remote control device, and we'll come to that later. So that's one of the first things we did. Also, with our company being forerunners in putting fashion into technology, we also looked at a fashion update using our consultant on fashion design in Paris and Milan. So the general findings from that was that in market trends, the most important aspects for remote controls were people want a fancy look and feel rather than the current functional look and feel of remote controls. They also want a remote control to be technologically innovative, and of course, as we predicted, it should be easy to use. Now, I should point out that the first of those findings, fancy look and feel, is the most important, twice as important as the second, technologically innovative, which is in turn twice as important as being easy to use. So possibly that the feature that we put first is actually third. It's still important, but it's third in order of preference here. The subject that we looked at.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the function update, which relates to very personal preferences among our subject group, we found from our consultants in Paris and Milan, who attended all the design and fashion fairs then, that fruit and vegetables are going to be the theme for clothes, shoes and furniture. So should we be thinking of using something like that in our remote control design too? There also seems to be a trend towards a spongy feel to materials, again in contrast to last year. So a lot of interesting feedback now, both from our market research department and from our people in Paris and Milan. Interesting to see what our design people make of that.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's start from the inside and work our way out.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you. I hate those little things.
Mm.
Especially if you do them on too tight and you can't get the leverage on them to undo them.
This is all about the design of the actual components and the availability of the components we have in stock at the moment. Okay, first, into the method. The main idea of the whole thing is just so you just press buttons and it should activate things on the TV, and we discussed last meeting it should be easy to find. Also in this study, I've looked into the availability of some of the materials, because some of the things that we looked at last time aren't available.
Okay.
Findings, I've got my nice little picture there. This is the chip called the TA11825, which is what's used in pretty much every remote control, because it sends out standard signals based on your input, and it's pretty much used for all TV remotes at the moment. And then we're looking into battery options. There's actually no rechargeable option available. So I saw the standard AA and AAA, which we thought were a bit too bulky at the moment. Dynamo charging, I thought that might be a bit silly, to be honest.
Can you explain that?
It's basically like wind-up radio.
Right, okay.
So you wind up your remote control before you use it.
How long can you get out of that? I mean, can you pick it up and then wind it for 2 minutes and then that's it for the night? Or
Yeah, I presume you wouldn't have to wind it for very long, but I don't think it's really sort of necessary when you think of the next two options, like the solar charging, because most people have the light on in the room anyway, so they could get...
That doesn't count now, does it?
Charges,
I thought it was UV.
No.
Like, any
regarding the sizes, which one do you think will be like, because we have to take into consideration size also. So maybe standard AAA might take lesser space and dynamo might take more space.
Yeah, it would. The dynamo would take more space because you'd actually need a physical sort of handle to wind up.
I'm pretty sure that solar is from the sun.
Yeah.
I don't think it counts electric lights now. But I mean, not many, you don't want to limit your market. I mean, people who live in basement flats, there's not that many people. But there are people.
Yeah, and most people also watch TV in the night anyway.
Mm. But then it would be charging through the day. I think the point is that it charges through the day. And then you've got it charged in the evening.
I think the next one is the best anyway. The kinetic charging, which is like You get it in wristwatches.
Yeah, I've seen.
You don't even notice it. I mean, the amount of probably moving around you'd be doing all the time would charge it up. I don't think you'd ever need to actually physically start shaking it up to make it work.
Are these like what is the life of the kinetic battery? It runs for a long time.
It charges into some form. It's a smaller cell,
mm-hmm.
which it charges into, and the size sort of a watch battery, because they use them quite frequently in watches, and that would last for. I'm not entirely sure how long it would last, but I've never seen one run out.
But then if you think about a watch, it's on your wrist, so it's on your whole body, it's on your body the whole time.
Yeah.
So you're walking around, you're doing things, it is moving a lot of the time.
Yeah.
If you're, I mean, you switch the TV on, then you put it on the side, then you pick it up to change it, and then you put it on the side.
Yeah, but
is it
again,
really going to be enough?
I think it is, because if you think about it, the watch, although it's only a tiny amount, it's always moving for the whole day, and they don't run out overnight when you leave them on the side.
Okay.
And for the same reason, you're only using it for an incredibly short amount of time, just to send a signal, and then you're finished with it.
So it's not the draw on it, isn't it?
No, I don't think the
draw on it.
Referring back to solar charging, is that compatible with standard batteries? I mean, could people put standard batteries in? They could leave it in the sunlight for solar charging, but the two things are not compatible.
Yeah, I think
like
you could have a dual power thing, but the thing with the solar cells is you would need to put them on the case, you know, because if you like on a calculator, they're quite big, and they all look identical.
Expensive as well.
Yeah,
what kind of price are we looking at for? I presume the normal batteries are the cheapest.
Yeah, the normal batteries would be the cheapest. I presume then it would actually be the solar charging ones. I think they're not very resistant to dropping. Because if you
solar.
Drop stuff, yeah, if you have
well, they're not designed.
The size you'd need to charge a remote wouldn't be that big, but I mean if remotes always get thrown around and stuff, so
practical-wise,
yeah, okay. Practically. I mean, calculators you don't really throw around a lot, whereas remotes you do.
They do get a bit of wear, but don't calculators have a battery in
them
as well?
Do, yeah, they've got dual things, but the batteries are smaller, I think.
And the question is, like, which one would last the longest? Because we don't want customers to be, like, you know, charging, like, a mobile phone every day.
Mm.
A remote controller. So,
yeah, so
we just look at the life also.
Yeah, if you had something using the standard batteries and the solar charging, I don't think you'd. I think you know how long the standard AA's would last in, or AAA's would last.
From the sharpness of the
yeah,
thing.
I think
so
I think it would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, can we add in an attachment to clothing feature?
Okay.
Can we think about that? Because if we're doing the kinetic thing,
yeah.
And
it's
well, add it in to think about.
Right, okay.
Because where am I? If it is the kinetic thing, and it is small and it is portable and it is a different shape,
yeah.
And the kinetic is something people don't do, kind of, we're doing something original and different. But if you wore it, if it's something you could just clip on your pocket, then you would have that less, you wouldn't lose it
yeah.
so much. But then maybe that's looking at someone who's just sitting on their own rather than the eternal battle for control of the control.
It's not something that's come up in any of our focus groups in market research.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Something to put on the side to think about
that. Okay,
right.
Okay, well, I'll move on.
Mm-hmm.
My second part of my findings, the most current remotes use this silicon PCB board, which printed circuit board. which basically has these contacts that are really close together, and then when you press down on the rubber button, it'll connect the circuit, and each switch is connected to different legs on the chip, and so sends a different message. And that then gets translated by the chip into a code, and then it's fired out of this LED in a sequence of on and off bursts.
What kind of things do we have to consider there? Can we, what kind of size, does it come in varying sizes, or is it just one size?
Well,
and we would have to fit the design of...
The thing about it is they can be as big or as small as you want them to be, because you can print a circuit board like that. It's simply spaced like that, so you can have fit the size of the 9 buttons in. If you see how thin the tracks are,
mm-hmm.
you could put them virtually right next to each other and have a much smaller switch on each one if you wanted to. But there is an option to do it like that, or you could have some sort of array of switches, which I'll speak about in the next bit.
Okay.
So that, and then to conserve battery life and make sure being a standby mode while not being used. Now what I was thinking about that was, because sometimes when you have these things, they've got little lights on behind the buttons, so you can see what all the buttons are, like on a mobile phone,
mm-hmm.
more often than on a TV remote. But you could have lights behind the buttons, and after like 5 or 10 seconds of not being used, I'd have that turned off if we decided to go for buttons that could light up. The case material, I've been sent what the factory can actually give us. There's the plastic, which I think we were going to go for anyway, as the main case,
mm-hmm.
case housing, and the main problems with the, well, you could go for wood, but I think it would be a little impractical. Titanium, very expensive, just the process to make it is expensive. And rubber, well, you're saying that people like this spongy feel this year, so perhaps something made of rubber, but I was thinking more of the buttons, because the buttons, which they've said that they've put across, are what is used in some stressful manufacture, and it's meant to be anti-RSI.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how that would work, because surely your fingers would still be moving over the short distances, but that's what they said. The problem with the casing is that there's quite a few design restrictions that they've got on the shape of the case. If you go to titanium, they can only do a standard box shape, whereas if you come to plastic, they can be a little more, they can do sort of curved shapes. But whether or not, because we'd have it in two separate units,
hinged. Yeah.
Yeah. And second question is, like, mobile, you can change the cover.
Yeah.
You call it a skin or whatever. So in this case, if you're looking at, like, a customer can change the color, like from green, parrot green to chili red or something like that.
Yeah.
So is that feature available in like titanium, or it's like only specific to plastic?
Yeah. In titanium, I don't think it'd be available at all. Really. You could make it available in the titanium. It's just it would be so expensive to buy a new case for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the expense of how much titanium is. It's light and strong, but I think it should be left for aircraft design rather than for a
It does mark those, isn't it? If you let it fall, I've got another one myself, which is titanium, and it does mark those.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if we make the basic mould out of plastic, but have like a rubber cover that you give the spongy feel. That also allows us to kind of have different fascia.
And you can peel them off, yeah.
So instead of the fascia that comes off being plastic, the fascia that comes off would be the rubber.
Yeah.
Like those pens that you get with a grip.
Yeah,
right.
That you can pull that off.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would be comfortable to hold on.
Mm.
Very cheap way of changing the look of it, and people can just buy a new one.
Yeah.
Well, that's been really popular with mobile phones, so I don't see why not.
Also, the just going back to the interface designs with the buttons, we were planning to do some sort of touch screen. Now, what I was saying before about instead of having, you could have just a bare PCB circuit board, and I'm sure you could probably get it in different colours, and so just by touching it with your finger, it would make the connection over if you have them close enough. That would be one option. The second option, they offer rubber buttons, but I thought that an LCD type of screen, because one, they're incredibly thin and don't take up much space. Two, you can have them in a sort of around, you could arrange the buttons on the screen in a sort of set thing, and you could have them like a touch.
So I can pick the last part. What you said, I didn't get the meaning of it completely.
On the LCD screen, you could fit it. The problem with it basically is that it's flat, and so you can't do lots of curved things with it. But you wouldn't have. With the LCD, you'd have the wires coming off. You wouldn't have that with the LCD. You'd only have that with the printed circuit board.
Sorry to interrupt. I don't see why the curved thing is a problem. If we, for example, had a shell.
Yeah.
Oh, it would be flat inside.
You could have a flat screen inside. Yeah. Well, I'm just wondering whether we want an LCD screen inside. It wouldn't be like full colour. It would just be black and white. Mm. But there'd be touch buttons, so you wouldn't be pressing down on it. Or we could have rubber buttons, which are made of this material, which is anti-RSI.
I think it would be good to have a contrast between, if the whole thing is going to be this rubber thing, it would be good to open it up and see something quite fancy looking inside. Now, how would you distinguish, if you had it bare, how would you distinguish where you had to press? I mean...
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of that.
I don't know if it helps with that, but just to do with the RSI, is it possible, just as an option, when we open it up, people can use their fingers to press the button, or we have inside like a small pointer thing?
Yeah, you could have some sort of stylus.
Like when the palm pop thing.
I think they could get a bit easily lost.
Yeah.
It would have to be attached.
Somebody who sells very often? A person who switches channels very often or does use a particular function very often?
Yeah.
He'll find it very irritating to use early, you know?
Yeah.
And he might spoil the touchpad very fast compared to a button, like...
Yeah.
If you keep punching with a pointer or whatever.
Yeah,
okay.
Just a thought. You wouldn't actually need one of the keys, anything they've got, couldn't you? A pencil, a pen, so you wouldn't really need it.
Okay, we'll talk about that. So, if you finish here, and we'll come back to that.
Yeah, that.
That's you? Right, okay.
Regarding the circuit, since we are having a flip-top, we can customize the two circuits for different type of buttons. Like we are keeping the standard buttons on the top, and the more complex buttons in this thing, so we can divide the circuit, like, you know.
Yeah, that would be fairly simple. I mean, you'd actually have two separate, you'd have two separate circuit boards, but they'd be joined by wires or like some cabling between them. Because in the actual flip, that you'd have some linking.
If we flip open, and you know how you've got some mirrors in nightclubs that are mirrors when you turn to them and you turn away and it gives like an advertising display. Have you seen those?
No.
And they kind of respond to the turn of your body. Is it possible that when we open our flip top shell, it's like a little compact mirror, and when you press a button, it then goes onto the phone display, the other remote control display?
We're marketing to guys as much as we are to women.
Just a thought.
Well, it's a remote control. You were sitting watching TV.
Yeah.
Are you going to want to sort of open it and say, I should go and have a shower and do my hair before I put the TV?
They're using the ideas from mobile phones.
Yeah, I know.
Just trying to think of all the features we can build in that wouldn't cost too much. But we can leave that on the other side.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you could have a, because if you just put the full charge through an LCD display, it would completely blank it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you could get any mirror effect on it.
Oh, I think we could forget about the mirror, that was just
Okay.
Okay, share something which I didn't hear. First thing is basically on design, we just took the input from the previous meeting, especially from the marketing and industrial design, to check on the customer needs and feasibility. Second is we check into competitors. The picture here shows what are the standard models offered by competitors here. So you generally see there is not much of variety.
Yeah.
And like marketing team said, people need trendy. They are bored of black and white.
Yeah.
So you generally see rectangular shape, very monotonous kind of designs here. And second thing is there is too much of confusion here.
Mm-hmm.
No particular remote is standard. Like some people have here. You see this? This is on. I found it the only common feature is the channel control and the volume control. Whereas other buttons, they are in a very disorganized and they are not consistent with other models, you know.
Okay.
Okay, and second, as already discussed with William, we are going to have maybe a GUI interface in the middle of the flip top and
which means
graphic user interface. Basically, which is what we do in computer, have icons or touchpad or whatever.
If you have like buttons that appear on the screen and this LCD screen.
Like you have an icons or something you have. It's a good example of GUI, graphic user interface.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically a person need not point or click or press any particular device, he just has to click on that particular icon.
Okay.
And on the top, repetitive buttons which are like volume or channel changing and all could be on the pointing device. That means user button. So he need not use a pointer to keep changing the channel if a person is frequent surfer.
Mm-hmm.
So we are having a combination of both. So on the simpler board on the top, we have this button, rubber buttons, to keep frequently changing the channels.
Can we swap that round so that the ones that we use all the time are on the bottom part? Because if you're thinking about holding it, you would be using your thumbs to press. Just like a mobile phone.
Yeah.
You'd have to flip it open and you'd be... Wouldn't you? Isn't that the idea? If we just use the show as an example,
yeah.
You open that, you've got your LCD display there and you've got the buttons there.
Yeah.
That's what I was just saying.
Yeah.
And then have the... And then have the LCD at the top,
mm-hmm.
and then be able to touch that for the
mm-hmm.
other
okay.
controls. So have the volume and the program, things like that.
And the lower
on the lower
oh.
side.
Okay.
Okay.
So the finding are too many cluttered buttons. The repetition of certain patterns which I already explained. An example, the volume and channel control buttons. All are confusing and inconsistent. Okay, we had a latest finding of voice recognition. There was a mail which mentioned that our division has developed a new speech recognition feature. We have to check into the financial feasibility, whether we can incorporate this at a low cost. But for, like we had a response from the customers that they would like to have the feature of finding it. So it could be like, where is the remote? And the remote answers, I am here.
Yeah.
Some kind of thing, or it gives a blip sound or some kind of sound. And if this can be incorporated, this will be more, you can say trendy also, and technologically innovative also.
Yeah.
So we can check into the financial feasibility of incorporating this. My personal preferences would be like, as already highlighted by marketing department, they want something to do with fruit. So I wouldn't say the design should be like a fruit. But yeah, we can take inspiration from fruit colors, like the vibrant colors, a red chili, tomato red or whatever. And second thing is certain standard buttons we should have. Like for example, if you see the previous slide. I think most of the users would now be well acquainted with this central pattern here.
Yeah.
So we will not change that particular pattern because this is the most consistent thing in all remote controls.
I can't see that. Is that play and stop and things?
This is the central one, the one.
Oh, is that volume and
channel? Yeah, volume and
channel.
So keep that standardized because that's the most common feature across all models. If you look at all the models, it's here. This. And voice recognition.
Okay. Right. Okay. I'm not sure how long we've got left, but we need to make a decision about the things we've discussed. So we agree on, do we agree on the battery? Yeah. That means that there's no function for the port, you know, that it sits in then pressing the button then having. So we could incorporate voice recognition for the finding it. It's a gadget. It is a selling point.
It's quite a cool feature to have. And also, if they've got it, if they've got these parts already in stock, then it won't be cheap to remanufacture. Well, it will be cheap though, to remanufacture. So do you reckon that's a good idea about where's the remote? I'm here then. I think that would be quite fun.
I think the only pitfall that we would have would be how much it's going to cost.
Yeah.
If that means we have to cut down somewhere else. But I think pretty much we've used cheap, relatively cheap and simple things.
Yeah.
The LCD's not cheap.
Well, it's not as expensive as it would be if it was full colour. Because if you've just got a black and white one, I mean, they use them in calculators.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe we could start with the black and white.
Yeah.
And you
that
could
would be good.
Yeah.
Upgrade later on.
Okay.
We talked about kinetic charging. I seem to have decided on that. Did we decide on AA or AAA batteries?
What? You could,
do you want like a backup?
No. One of the decisions we had to make is whether we had AA or AAA batteries because they've still got to be charged this way, haven't they?
No, the kinetic ones come with a sort of watch, a battery that goes in the watch.
Right, okay.
So it's a lot smaller, so.
Okay, so we've got battery. The inside components is pretty standardised across the board, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's not really a decision to be made there. The buttons, what did you give us as our... The bare board LCD or...
Yeah, I think we're going for the LCD on that one, on the buttons. On the top one.
Okay, you've got the touch.
Yeah.
Okay, and then.
On the bottom, we're going to have the rubber ones, the anti-RSI ones.
Okay.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Okay. You've got the flip screen. Mm-hmm. The top one is going to be the LCD, and the bottom one is going to be the rubberized button.
Okay.
No, it's fine.
For the body design, I think plastic.
Plastic.
Yeah.
For the inside.
For the inside, and
yeah.
Rubber as a padding or for the grip, something like to add to the design.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided on a rubber casing for the plastic shell.
Oh, I think so. I think so.
And it's just that I want to rubberize the fungi. Apart from that, we're just going to go for sort of vegetable and fruit colour. We're not going to try and make actually a vegetable or fruit design or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think we don't want to be tacky. If we've got a kind of different shape anyway, the material that we would be using would be cheap. So we could make it red, we could make it psychedelic, you know, we could make it black and white zebra stripes. But that's not really what we're focusing on. What we're focusing on is the, you know.
The feel.
Yes. So we could just pick anything.
Is that going to be, this image I've got in my head, of something kind of shaped like that, maybe about that size, made of plastic, fits into the palm of the hand, rubberized, covered, it's spongy. Is that really going to fit fancy look and feel, which was the major thing that people wanted Mark to
do? It's just different. It's just different from everything else, and I mean, I'm trying to imagine clean-looking houses, sort of beige and black. So you either want something that goes with that, which is what's on the market anyway, or you want something that contrasts, as you know, like you get clocks now that are more of a talking point than an actual clock, because they're so interesting.
I'm kind of pushing it back to see if you came out with anything else, but I mean, I totally agree. we looked at them generally, I mean they are kind of anonymous, very similar looking things.
Mm.
This would definitely be different enough. I just wondered how many could come up with this.
And you would just have you would have so many different options that you could do. You could have a plain black one. You could have sparkly pink glittery ones for your little.
It's going to be so relatively cheap to produce that if in a year's time you get feedback from the design page that shows something else is coming, it's so easy to produce that, it could be flipped on.
And the ones that have rubbery spikes, you know, you could just go so far with it. Like a puffer fish, you could take it wherever. So I think that's quite a flexible.
And finally,
thing.
The body should be detachable. Meaning you can change the body of the casing, the case out.
Yes.
It should be molded with the design in such a way you can change it every time.
Yeah, with these rubberized case, not the actual plastic outside case, just the rubber.
Yeah. Okay, we've got 5 minutes. That might have been up for a while.
So can I just recap there for the decisions that we've made? Kinetic charging, the watch type batteries, LCD display on the top side of the flip top, rubberized button on the bottom side. We're going to use fruit and vegetable colour for the rubber cover, the case itself is plastic. That's how far we've got. What else do we have to add to our decisions here?
We were talking about voice recognition also.
Mm-hmm.
Because that we have not addressed the issue of how to locate the remote control if it's lost. So
yeah.
Are you looking at voice recognition?
Just the cost issue with that, but it's a good idea. We just need to check on the cost.
Or maybe like William was suggesting the last thing, some devices you put on keychains.
The whistle one.
The whistle. So we can, if financially voice recognition is not feasible, we could go for a whistle.
And incorporating the company logo.
Yeah.
Have you?
Sorry, I didn't mention that. But we'll be incorporating in the design.
Mm. Okay. As I took it from the feedback you gave in the last meeting from your report, it's not just a case of having the RR hidden somewhere, but you want it to be obvious that it's our product.
Well, they do, but I think we can. You could.
It's kind of the market.
Well, it is. It is. I think you just address that with advertising. You associate the name with the individual product that it is, and that does the work for you. Obviously, it'll have a logo on it, just like everything, but everything else has a logo on it. The point is that it's got to stand out somehow differently, but I think it does without that, so I'm not worried about that.
Did we, I know at the last meeting we spoke about a beeper, I think that was you talked about a beeper for location, have we just rejected that in favour of voice recognition?
Depending on how.
Depending on the expense of it.
I mean, we've got this memo saying that it's something that the company's looking into, so that seems to make sense. But if it turns out that it's hugely expensive, we'd have to cut down somewhere else, then it's worth thinking about. But I think we'll find out more about cost afterwards. Right, I'm going to wrap it up there. I got a end meeting now message. <Did
it>?
Yeah. So. So I think we've probably got, it says closing, we have 40 minutes. So I think we've probably got about that time before we come back. It's either that or we only had 40 minutes to discuss what we just discussed and don't know how long that took even.
I think we're pretty going in a clear direction now.
Yeah.
Is everyone happy?
Yeah. Lunch is good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.